TikTok, over 1 billion of us use it. In just a few years, it's changed the world. But is it now changing us?
If I was a copper today, I'd be absolutely furious with TikTok.
TikTok seems to be driving some users into a frenzy.
You have blood on your hands!
From witch hunts by amateur sleuths.
TikTokers have been playing detective. It has significantly distracted the investigation.
To incidents of copycat violence.
They stole a bus and burned it.
These frenzies seem to be fueled by posting and sharing on the platform.
It's like wildfire spreading. You can put out the main fire, but like all of the little fires are still there and people can see it.
I'm the BBC's disinformation and social media correspondent. Like so many of us, I'm obsessed with TikTok.
Sometimes I think that maybe the TikTok algorithm knows me better than I know myself.
And I want to know whether it's really driving antisocial behaviour.
TikTok will send you an encouragement telling you if you're a hit, keep going.
TikTok incentivizes creators very, very clearly by paying them money.
If so, are the company aware of what's going on? Or is the machine out of control?
The TikTok effect. A woman takes a seat.
Am I looking at this one? Sorry, I just fucked this up. My bad. Take two. I'm Taylor Cohen. I worked at TikTok in New York between the years of 2020 and 2022 as a global creative strategist. I was a really early adopter of the platform. I couldn't put it down for like days, months, which turned into years. Started to see more of my friends joining and just saw it as not going away, and I just needed to be a part of it.
But do you have a blue North Face TikTok hat? Because I do.
TikTok is different than anything that ever came before it. If I met somebody who didn't understand how the TikTok algorithm worked, I would explain it to them in this way. Do you want to see what you actually are interested in? TikTok is a content graph, meaning that the algorithm serves you content based on topics you like. So as an example, if you really like dogs and you start to see, you know, maybe one or two TikToks in your feed of dogs, but you're always liking that dog post, you're gonna start to see a lot more dog content in your feed. Now on Instagram, the biggest difference there is, you know, that's a social graph, meaning you're only gonna see content based upon other people's influence. So your other friends liking posts, how many followers the person has, how much engagement they're getting. When I think about TikTok, it's allowing anybody to show up at the top of your feed or in the first couple like swipes, whatever it is, but it's so relevant to you and it's so catered that you feel like you're actually living in this like experience with other people where you're like, oh wow, I feel that same way. And I can't say, like, at least for myself, I've never experienced that on any other social platform ever.
I'm Jeff Allen. I'm the co-founder and chief research officer at the Integrity Institute. Videos uploaded to TikTok are public, which means that anyone on Earth can see them. It's much more about discovery, right? It's much more about seeing content that is new and novel. It does mean that the algorithm is much more in control and has much more influence over what users are seeing. You don't quite know what you're going to see when you log into it.
Flying over a rural town, Idaho, US. November 2022.
Four students stabbed to death in their off-campus house while two of their housemates slept. Those are the bare facts of a crime committed on the 13th of November in the small college town of Moscow, Idaho.
In November 2022, four students from the University of Idaho were murdered in their bedrooms while two surviving housemates slept. Unfounded speculation around who committed the murders gripped TikTok.
So, like everybody else on TikTok, I'm obsessed with this.
I'd never heard of Moscow, Idaho, but the murders quickly flooded my feed before being widely covered by the media.
I am fucking over the TikTok detectives all over this fucking app.
Within a few days, I was almost seeing nothing else. I discovered that TikTok users were uniquely obsessed with the case. I found videos on TikTok using the Idaho 4 hashtag racked up 2 billion views compared to just 80,000 views on YouTube over the same period. The case seemed to generate more engagement on TikTok than any of the other social media sites.
So I was doing some digging and I went on Maddie, which is one of the victims' Instagram, and I saw that she has a boyfriend named Jake.
Sleuths trying to solve mysteries online happens all the time. But what I noticed was how so many people were getting involved in baseless speculation who didn't seem to have posted about true crime before, getting huge numbers of views, sharing theories about a murder that they had limited knowledge of.
What I think happened is that Kaylee had a stalker.
The more extreme the views, the more interest they seemed to attract.
This is Kaylee and this is her ex, and everyone's like, Kaylee was the target, Kaylee was the target.
Like many, I found myself watching video after video. I was hooked by people throwing around accusations about who they believed to be the murder suspect.
And I am starting to believe more and more that Jack was involved.
Stop thinking that you are on an episode of Law & Order. These are actual lies.
Some TikTokers, including those who lived in Moscow, Idaho, started to call out what was happening.
These are real fucking lives that you are discussing and ruining.
People died. Fucking stop.
One of the main theories involved someone called Jack Showalter. Dubbed Hoodie Guy by TikTokers, he was falsely accused of being involved. Jack was caught on CCTV by a food truck close to two of the victims hours before they were killed.
The most suspect is Gray Hoodie Guy from the food truck.
He followed them. This all just ties up. He had it planned out.
TikTokers deciding he was a suspect dissected his life online.
The big rumor going around is that his parents whisked him off to South Africa so they can't get his DNA.
I think that it was premeditated. That's why the main suspect is now in Africa.
We do not believe the following individuals are involved in this crime. A male specifically wearing a white hoodie.
It's not Jack Showalter. It has nothing to do with my family or the Showalters.
His sister released a TikTok asking the witch hunt to stop.
There were so many victims that were created through internet sleuth videos like this. We have received threats and harassment. And we didn't deserve that. Jack didn't deserve that.
I'm Jasmine, and I worked as a TikTok moderator in 2022. I think it's fair to say that TikTok has a unique quality to it that makes it especially sticky for people to engage in trends because you feel like everyone else is already doing it. So what does it matter if I also engage in this trend when really it's kind of feeding the algorithm and it's making this topic more popular by you posting about it? You could see it as a moderator that people would completely pivot their content and kind of try to jump on whatever is trendy right now.
So right now we are driving to Moscow, Idaho. We just flew out from Florida.
While most joined in from their homes, I found one TikToker called Olivia who took things a step further. She decided to visit the scene.
This is the home where four students were brutally stabbed to death.
One of her posts even racked up over 20 million views.
A reddish-colored substance believed to be blood can be seen coming from Zaina's room.
Many were gripped by her videos. Others were more critical and asked her to stop, but she kept posting.
It is insanely disrespectful to go ahead and make a little mock documentary for a 15-second TikTok video of an active crime.
In this leaked screenshot from surveillance footage, it shows the girls speaking with Kaylee's ex.
I wanted to understand what was driving her to speculate about the case. She agreed to meet me in Florida, where she lives.
There was something about it that really drew me to it. And I just felt this need to go out there and dig for answers and see if I can help out in any way.
Right here is the home where the four University of Idaho students were murdered.
I was at the location for a week, talking to people, to neighbors, to students, and trying to get a feel for who could have possibly done this.
How far is Moscow, Idaho from here in Florida?
Moscow, Idaho is about a 6 or 7 hour flight, I think.
That is a long way to go.
Yeah, it was very long. But the content that I make where I am actually at the scene of something does much better versus if I was just at home sitting somewhere and talking about a case because I'm showing them this is exactly what is happening right now.
What has been the reaction on the ground when you turn up at different locations to cover these cases?
Typically, the reaction is positive, but sometimes that's not always the case. I think one example of a hostile situation was the Summer Wells case.
Something bad happened here, and her mother won't talk about it.
5-year-old Summer Wells went missing in June 2021.
11 acres of forest. Her toys are still scattered about in her backyard.
Olivia was one of the people investigating the case on TikTok.
Summer's parents say that she was abducted. At one point, they said that she just walked out the back door by herself. A neighbor says they heard a loud scream around the time she went missing.
Her parents were not named as suspects, and there was no evidence at the time to suggest they were involved. Yet, they were pursued by rumors on social media that they were somehow responsible.
Another rumor is that one of Summer's siblings say they saw their father holding Summer's lifeless body running out of the house. There's a cemetery across the street from their home. We spent days searching for Summer, but found nothing.
Olivia was one of a group of TikTokers who turned up outside the parents' house in Tennessee. Summer's parents spoke out about the harm the unfounded allegations were causing.
This is the hardest time of me and Candace's life. You lose your daughter, and then you get blamed for it, and then everybody turns on you.
Her parents didn't want anyone to really help search for their missing daughter.
You told me you couldn't come to church today!
Her parents actually shot a flare gun at my mother and I and some friends.
Was that scary?
It was a bit scary. But I just kind of get in this zone where I'm like kind of in my own little world and I don't even really realize.
Does it ever feel like a movie to you, almost as a coping mechanism, like that distance that you put between yourself and the case?
I feel a lot of people will accuse me of or say that I sensationalize these stories and that it's bad. But I don't see it like that. I'm a very empathic person. It's just the way that I edit that people see it as like a Netflix thing, and that's why they say I'm sensationalizing things.
2 years later, Summer remains missing. The police have kept the case open.
Okay, here's part six, and we found two men's ankle socks, and this was probably a couple feet away from where his remains were found.
I felt it was almost like Olivia didn't realize the harm this kind of behavior could cause the people living through tragedies.
For people who don't watch this kind of content, they could find it quite unusual that someone would go to the place where a disappearance has happened or murders have happened and record it and look for information. Do you think it's unusual?
I do see how that could be unusual for people that aren't on TikTok. But I think it's a new thing that is happening and it will become more normal. It's the beginning. It's kind of like the Wild West out here. I do worry that I could accidentally give out wrong information. I won't go out of my way to talk about someone unless I really believe that they're really involved. It's a new type of journalism. Journalism has changed. It's not like how it was before. Now you don't need a diploma, you don't need a degree to really do it. You just need your phone, that's all you need. And sometimes I can even post controversial things. I can post about information that some news companies would need confirmation about before posting, but I have just me, so I could just post it. I can do that, I have the power to do that.
So we finished searching in the northern part of Key West.
Olivia says she's a journalist, but what she's doing is not subject to the codes of practice that govern traditional media. I'm obliged not to promote false or unfounded theories.
We're about half a mile out from you. Oh, over.
At the moment, TikTok regulates itself and says it removes content that breaches its community guidelines, including misinformation and hate. The Online Safety Bill is expected to become law in the UK at the end of 2023 and says it will force social media sites to uphold their commitments to protect users. If they don't, they could face hefty fines. But speculation about the Idaho murders felt like a free-for-all.
I think that TikTok does encourage people to participate more than other apps because you can just be sitting on your couch and make a video and then reach tons of people. One video on TikTok could get millions of plays versus if I post the same video on Instagram, it'll get like 200 views.
It's much easier to go viral on TikTok. in that, like, there isn't this barrier of developing a huge following. You know, maybe the second video that you upload, TikTok decides, is a great video to show everyone, and boom, you're off to like 20 million views. As something gets more harmful, things tend to get more engagement. These algorithmically ranked systems are all floating bad content to the top. If you see, oh, this video, someone's doing something very dangerous in it and they're getting a lot of views, cool, maybe I'll do something dangerous, you know? Someone's doing, you know, something that's very disruptive and damaging, you know, to their community. You're like, okay, well, maybe I will disrupt my community too, and maybe I will get a lot of views if I do that.
So how does TikTok deal with this? Does it actually incentivize users to take part, even if it causes harm?
My name's Lara. I was a content moderator at TikTok in the Australian market from 2020 till 2022. I saw a lot of trends that were either super dangerous, but people got the thrill out of being involved in something. TikTok has definitely impacted how people act, how people behave, how people treat others. TikTok gives you that opportunity to see something that's happening and then suddenly feel like, oh, I need to go there. It's an hour away. I can film myself doing that. I can be relevant. I think that's when people forget that fine line of what is socially acceptable and what's not, but also what's legal and what's not. And then other people are watching and think that that person is right, therefore they copy.
If you were face to face with that person, you wouldn't be commenting the things that you are commenting. But because it feels like you're just talking to friends and you see hundreds of other people who have also done the same thing, it becomes much more socially acceptable. If you see someone attacking a person, you clearly know that's wrong, but that's always going to be taken off TikTok. But if you see someone invading their privacy or bullying them, that's a bit more gray in terms of how people take it in and accept.
In December 2022, a man was arrested and charged with the murders of the four Idaho students. He's awaiting trial.
It seems to me that Olivia and other TikTokers found themselves caught up in a sort of frenzy. As more extreme allegations were made about the case, they were encouraged to get involved, forgetting about the consequences and the real people targeted. So why do these frenzies happen on TikTok?
When you post a video on TikTok, rather than just being promoted to your friends and followers, it will appear on the feeds of other users who TikTok thinks could be interested in it. Depending on how they engage with that video, the algorithm might decide this is something people like and push it to millions more at a speed and scale that doesn't seem possible on other social media platforms. After seeing the original video's success, other users might then decide to create their own versions, which in turn will be sent out to more people, and the cycle starts again. And so you have a TikTok frenzy, often with users pushing it to new extremes to get noticed, because the likes and views make them think that it's okay.
People dancing.
These frenzies are different on TikTok because of its emphasis on participation. From the outset, when people came to it as a dance app, getting involved has been a key part of its DNA.
TikTok inspires participation more than any other platform. I truly believe it is the participatory platform. Oh, yeah! But the really cool thing about TikTok with TikTok frenzies is that people try, they don't just recreate it. They put their own spin on it. And so you start to see how, you know, what the original piece of content was that went viral and led to this TikTok frenzy. And then you'll see like the last video that kind of like blew up, and it's nowhere near the first one. And it's so cool to see like the creativity that the community brings to those TikTok frenzies.
My name is Chris Stoker-Walker. I'm a journalist and the author of TikTok Boom. Traditionally in social media, you have been passive consumers. You've watched videos wash over you through the app's delivery of them. But with TikTok, you are actively encouraged to participate. And it's because that allows them to essentially ensure that you go from being someone who can dip in and out to being someone who is actively invested in this.
What unfolded on TikTok around this police investigation felt different to me. I wondered whether this was just a US phenomenon. But then it happened again.
Just what has happened to Nikki Bully? She vanished from this Lancashire riverbank last Friday morning. A mum of two young girls who just dropped off at school and was taking her dog for its regular walk.
Nikki's mobile phone was found on this bench. It was still connected to a work conference call.
Her spaniel, a short while later, was found wandering nearby. Local people who saw it say it was dry and hadn't been in the river.
That leash was meant to be there, and so was that phone. It was a setup.
Similar to Idaho, a frenzy began around her disappearance. I spotted it on my TikTok feed before it totally flooded the news. According to TikTok, it deploys additional resources to reduce the potential spread of conspiratorial content about unfolding events. But as the days went on, the witch hunts began, accusing friends and family of Nicola of being involved.
"He just gives me bad vibes. What do you think?"
One TikTok account was racking up millions of views, posting speculation about Nicola's friend Emma and her partner Paul.
"I believe Emma posed as Nicola the morning she was reported missing. Does this support my theory? Same socks or same person?"
You can clearly see Paul's reflection right here and also note how he is in darkness while the girls and Nikki are photographed with flash.
"Who are these people and why were they allowed to be present?
Why are you hiding?
Do they know something we don't?"
The person behind this TikTok account has agreed to meet me.
"Hello.
Hi.
Lovely to meet you.
You too."
Heather had never really used TikTok before, but this case caught her attention on the app. And she says TikTok inspired her to get involved.
"So I went on TikTok to look at the real person's perspective on the Nicola Bolli case. I think the initial posts were all just pleased, trying to find her, little descriptions of what she was wearing, retracing her footsteps from the day. But there's the dark side where the conspiracists were unpicking her life, scrutinising the people involved in her life. And I think that's then what gauges natural curiosity.
When you're being constantly surrounded by those kinds of videos, can it become quite difficult to say, oh, hold up a second, is that true, is that false?
I think it's very easy to fall down like a conspiracy hole. Any little thing can become suspicious when you're looking at it over and over and almost wanting to find discrepancies in people's stories.
"This is so obvious to me. Emma posed as Nicola. This is meant to be doorbell footage of Nicola."
Heather posted a video scrutinising doorbell footage of Nicola leaving the house on the morning of her disappearance. She falsely implied the footage actually showed Nicola's best friend Emma pretending to be Nicola.
"I can't be the only one seeing this. Do they share jewellery?"
How viral did it go?
So it got to 3.6 million within 72 hours. That level of explosion was just completely unexpected. Whenever you post something and it gains traction, TikTok will send you little emails of encouragement telling you that you've received this many views, you're a hit, keep going, and it's there to encourage you to keep posting. If you post something and you receive a lot of positivity from it, I think that can definitely change your behaviour, whereas before you might not have had that level of empowerment or entitlement, and now all of a sudden you feel that you've got this authority to keep posting whatever you've done before. And I think it does definitely has the power to alter people's perspective on reality. There was, I think, around 10,000 comments just on that one video alone. There are obviously dotted in there quite abusive ones. You know, you're immoral, you're making money off the misery of people, and that's just not true.
We've got two beautiful little girls that need their mummy home, and that's what's keeping us going. But again, the community is united again.
As interest in the case grew, Emma spoke to the media about the disappearance. This led to TikTokers analysing her behaviour and claiming she was involved.
"Emma White is really beginning to grind on me for a number of reasons. What's the need for all the makeup?"
Her makeup is always done well.
"The negative that sticks in my mind is Emma White, who I don't trust.
I believe the CCTV footage to be that of Emma."
And it wasn't just Emma. Nicola's partner Paul also became a particular target of false claims on TikTok.
"Can you not see through him? He's lying through his teeth."
"What doesn't sit right with me, with this gentleman, is his body language.
Very relaxed, no emotion.
His face is some confusion as the sides of his mouth go up and his brow goes down.
It's also ridiculous, his head and his scarf. England is not particularly cold, so that makes you wonder what he's trying to hide."
These theories were wrong. Emma and Paul were innocent.
Lancashire Police said that they are continuing to see a huge amount of commentary from so-called experts, ill-informed speculation and conspiracy theories, which they said was damaging to the investigation, the community here in St Michael's, and most importantly, to Nicola's family. They said it must stop.
"Our girls will get the support,
they need from the people who love them the most. And it saddens us to think that one day we will have to explain to them that the press and members of the public accused their dad of wrongdoing, misquoted and vilified friends and family. This is absolutely appalling. They have to be held accountable. This cannot happen to another family.
The police announcements didn't stop some users from posting about the case, even though the speculation was causing serious harm to a family already living through the worst.
Do you think that when lots and lots of other people are posting about something, sharing their views about it, and millions of people are watching it, do you think it can make us a bit desensitised?
When you're seeing video after video after video of the same content on the same topic, it's very easy to just think, well, I can join in on that and I'm just another person. I've had to remind myself these are other people's lives and it's not just a video that's going to go nowhere. It's potentially going to blow up in your face and then you are accountable. I think that's the danger of TikTok, is that if somebody posts something that isn't factual, then it gets a lot of views and then it sort of becomes a conspiracy.
Since speaking to me, Heather deleted her posts about Nicola Bulley.
Heather seemed to really regret becoming caught up in this frenzy, and she told me that without TikTok, she just doesn't think she would have participated in this way. The press was also to blame for what unfolded around this case, but it was on TikTok where some of the misinformation that couldn't be aired by the traditional media spread like wildfire. It all became really out of control.
A study by the Integrity Institute measured how much engagement certain creators received on inaccurate posts compared to their other posts. They found that misinformation was amplified 25 times on TikTok, compared to 2.4 times on Instagram and 3.8 times on Facebook.
The platform that did the least worst is Instagram. And that is actually a design, an implication of how Instagram is designed. It's very much dependent upon who you follow. There's no reshare or retweet button. And most of the views are not coming from algorithmic recommendations.
Like the other social media sites, TikTok do have specialized misinformation moderators, equipped with tools to help keep misinformation off the platform.
The fact-checking tool is something they brought in, and it felt very much as a response to the criticism TikTok was getting in the media. So they wanted something for moderators so they could look up in real time what was happening. Actually using the fact-checking tool was quite complicated. Sometimes the fact-checkers weren't really like clear on what they have to fact-check. So for normal users who don't have this privilege of a fact-check tool, it's having a really real effect, and it is changing people's minds about things.
Jasmine, former TikTok content moderator. Yellow ribbons tied to a bridge. One reads, "Come home safe, Nikki."
It is quite steep down there.
Similar to Idaho, the frenzy on TikTok around the Nicola Bulley case grew exponentially. Within the first 3 weeks of her disappearance, I found videos using the hashtag of her name had 270 million views on TikTok, compared to just 3.3 million on YouTube. Yet what was different was the number of TikTokers turning up at the scene. This caused the police to take the unprecedented move of calling out the interference by TikTokers and issuing a dispersal order around the area.
TikTokers have been playing their own private detectives. In 29 years police service, I've never seen anything like it. It has significantly distracted the investigation.
Hi guys, my name's Spence Suckler from Spence Suckler Security and Training Limited.
Locals even employed a private security firm to keep TikTokers away.
All these conspiracy theories that are going on and people taking it as fact. You know, if you don't need to come to the village, guys, please just stay away.
The caravan site, close to the bench where Nicola went missing, soon became a central focal point for the TikTok sleuths.
There is a caravan site with a CCTV blind spot that the police haven't bothered to look into.
That's a map of the caravan park, and as you can see, it backs onto the river where Nicola was last seen.
There has been some mention of CCTV, specifically at the caravan site, that hasn't been working and that's suspicious itself. That is not the case. We have been helped and assisted beyond all belief by the caravan owners.
Hello.
Hello, nice to see you.
How are you doing?
Not bad, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've come to meet Oliver, whose family own the caravan site. So tell me a bit about this caravan park. When did your family come here?
My grandparents bought this place in the late 90s. All these fields here where the campers stay and the house is owned by my granny, and she sort of runs the business, and she lives there as well. Yeah.
I'd spotted how Oliver's 78-year-old grandmother, Penny, found herself at the centre of some TikTok conspiracy theories.
My grandmother was the one who found poor Nicola's dog at the bench by the river. Things sort of snowballed from there as national papers started to pick up the story, and then others, unfortunately, started to come up with their own sort of theories as to what happened. People talking about this tragic case online found out that my grandmother lives just mere yards from where Nicola was last seen. The theories started, and the TikTok videos, of course, began to be produced. And of course, the theories just got wilder and wilder. Within days, if not hours, that quickly escalated to people finding out what my grandmother's name is, the address being posted online. People started to physically turn up in the village and start to take photos of the house. One particular TikToker came onto the property and started to speak to some of our customers at our business. And then the same TikToker then approached my grandmother. We actually came on just to look around how big it is. That's what it was.
What do you think you're doing?
Because it was open, we walked in.
It's and not open. Off you go. Go on, both of you.
So you got no words to say, no?
No, nothing to say about anything. Go
on. Do you have anything to say about Nicola Bully?
Nothing at all.
Nothing?
Go on, nothing at all. Off you go.
Okay. He stood in front of her, asking her questions, trying to provoke her, antagonise her into a reaction. To have, you know, my grandmother's a 78-year-old woman who lives on her own, to have people effectively come to her door filming her was... It was frightening for all of us as a family. And she said that, you know, she feels like someone may come and attack her and to try and kill her. They've been intrusive, intimidating, antagonistic, and all for getting clicks and likes and to earn money online.
This same TikToker, Curtis Arnold, achieved notoriety for his invasive videos around the case.
A man has been arrested over footage shot from inside a police cordon on the day the body of Nicola Bully was found in a river in Lancashire last month.
To try and catch them recovering a deceased body from the water is absolutely disgusting.
But even the TikTok community thought he'd taken it too far when he shared a video of himself getting past the cordon to film the removal of Nicola's body.
Police say the 34-year-old man from Kidderminster was detained on suspicion of malicious communication offences and perverting the course of justice.
TikTok incentivizes creators very, very clearly by paying them money. If you have a large following on TikTok and your videos are getting, you know, typically high view rates, TikTok will pay you. So there's very, very clear incentive to get as many views as possible.
TikTok pays creators with over 10,000 followers between $20 and $40 per million views. It's unclear how much Curtis Arnold made from his social media posts.
If you can make this your living, or if you can build up an audience and a little bit of credibility and maybe even some fame through this, you're much more likely to log on every day. So there's this kind of, you know, vicious circle that you go in where you kind of are shown content, you're encouraged to make content, you're given the first taste of fame from that content, and therefore you create more and more and constantly feed that algorithm for TikTok.
It's almost natural to become a reverse engineer of the TikTok algorithm to do what the algorithm wants you to do. Do the kind of stuff that gets you lots of views and impressions. This will very naturally sort of influence people's behavior and, you know, the videos that they actually do create.
Do you think that it's changed how people behave and how people think it's acceptable to behave, these kinds of TikTok videos and posts online?
I think 20 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. The village has been turned into a tourist attraction, a fairground almost, where people think that they can come here and film our family home as if it's some sort of macabre exhibit. TikTok have a responsibility, and I'd like to ask, do they think they are taking that responsibility seriously enough? Because I certainly don't think they are.
An inquest has determined that Nicola's death was due to accidental drowning.
From investigating these cases, it seems to me that something new is happening on TikTok. The social media site appears to be recommending this kind of content to users who just wouldn't have come across it before. And then they decide to participate in a way that they just wouldn't have done previously. It's almost like a murder mystery game, and it gets really out of control. There are misleading and false claims targeting innocent people, and they seem to be enjoyed by millions.
A TikTok spokesperson told the BBC, at moments of national conversation, which are intensified by 24-hour news reporting, we naturally see our community take more of an interest in these stories, just as everyone does, whether they're around a kitchen table or at a bus stop. The BBC itself has posted on TikTok about many of the stories covered in this documentary. So are TikTok aware of what's going on, and what are they doing about it? I've tracked down someone who used to be on the inside for some answers. We've revoiced him and are calling him Lucas to protect his identity.
I worked in a role in data strategy and analysis, particularly focused on revenue and the profit-driving side of the business.
Do you think when you were there that they were equipped to become more than just a dancing app, that they were equipped to deal with videos about stuff happening in the news, about a whole range of different issues?
No, because it grew so fast that they couldn't possibly keep up with or predicted every single way the app was going to go. But in terms of dangerous content, at least I haven't ever heard of them trying to proactively prevent them from getting big. And in general, they don't want to. They don't want to stand in the way of entertainment growing quickly on their platform. They don't want to be content moderators because then they are responsible for the content.
You said that phrase, they don't want to get in the way of entertainment and of growth. Why is that? Money?
Yeah, it's about money. The more users they have on the platform, spending more time watching videos, they can sell more ads, sell them for a higher price. It feels like an engine to make revenue off people's time in unproductive ways. It feels potentially dangerous, and it's hard to get excited about working towards that goal. It's probably the most addictive platform that we've encountered yet, and I think that's a real danger, especially because of how young the audience is and how impressionable they are.
There was evidence that TikTok's algorithm was in some way driving the frenzy of strange behaviour in both the Bully and Idaho cases. But how widespread was the problem? Was there evidence that TikTok was connected to other outbreaks of unusual behaviour?
United Kingdom, February 2023. TikTok content showing protests at different schools.
So-called TikTok protests have continued to take place in Britain's schools as hundreds of pupils rebelled against teachers over new rules, with some clips attracting millions of views.
In February 2023, another frenzy took hold, this time in Britain's schools. A protest at Rainford High about school uniform checks was posted on TikTok. And within 3 days, students at over 60 schools filmed protests. Within a week, there were over 100 schools involved. Windows were smashed, trees were set on fire, and teachers were pushed over. School protests aren't new, but I noticed that a significant number of students seem to be behaving in an unusually extreme way. Some schools were forced to get police involved. According to TikTok, most of the videos showed pupils engaging in peaceful demonstrations. But it all felt quite familiar to me. The sheer speed at which the post spread on TikTok and the way the users felt emboldened to participate.
Most of the worrying videos we would see were by really young users. These kind of like frenzies of like what is currently cool to do in a school has like always been the case. But I feel like what TikTok is enabling people to do now is to take one thing that's viral in one school and transporting it to like the whole region and making it a competition and who can up the other schools and make it more extreme. TikTok itself will not solve these problems because these frenzies, it is good for the business.
During the school protests, I decided to see what type of content the algorithm might offer a 15-year-old boy's For You feed. So I set up an undercover account.
So these are all videos about football because we've shown an interest in football.
School uniforms, what is it?
It's a lovely thing provided by the school. It's not even provided by the schools, by the way. It looks shit, it feels shit, and it costs way too much for what it is.
The fourth post that came up was an influencer called Adrian, who posts self-improvement videos and seemed to be encouraging anti-school behaviour.
You know school is pointless, and you know it's not helping you prepare for your future one little bit. What are we doing here? I'll tell you what, being slaves to the government, making sure the institution that is a worker and slave development plan continues to function.
Over the next few days, the algorithm drove more and more of his content to my feed.
Bitch told me I need to sit here in this shitty plastic chair. They have the audacity to tell the youth what to do with their future.
I teach not to be reliant on higher-ups and teachers.
Attached to Adrian's account is a link to his business.
Thousands of teachers across the UK are worried about me. They literally did me a favour. They gave me free exposure. Thank you to those of you who continue to stand up for me against schools, against teachers, against the boards.
I started to look at some of the comments under his videos. Many seemed to be from teenage boys in the UK. They suggested that some of them were changing their behaviour after watching Adrian's videos. Others pushed back after noticing the behaviour of their friends.
The BBC correspondent Mariana opens up her laptop. She clicks on an icon, then starts a video call with Adrian. He's sitting on a balcony.
Adrian's agreed to have a conversation with me. I want to ask him about his content and the impact it could be having.
Every single day, without realizing.
Not one single piece of content, not one video that I've put out is in any way with misinformation or with hate speech or anything, any kind of negative impact towards my audience.
I encourage them to rebel against ridiculous rules in schools where you're discouraged from simple communication. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
What do you think about those kinds of protests? Do you think they've gone too far? Do you think that they still are within the means of legitimate, I don't know, opposition to school rules?
I think these things are very rare and they're definitely extreme, to say the least, because if you look at my following, let's say I've got 1.2 million followers on that account, let's say of which, let's chop it down to 800K are school children. How many of those children realistically were involved in those acts? I mean, a tiny, tiny percentage. I can't control that.
How do you balance making sure that you are, you know, encouraging people to express what they think, but not to take it too far and actually to, you know, harass teachers or call them horrible names or make sure that they're not behaving in like a violent way towards other people at school? I mean, how do you tread that line, or is it not possible to with your content?
Ultimately, if I'm putting out a video to 1.5 million people, I'm not, I absolutely cannot cover for the 200 out of those 1.5 million people who decide to do something absolutely ridiculous. I mean, in none of my videos will you ever see me condone anything like the things that you've listed up. I think to say that social media and TikTok in particular, or my content, is to blame for these things, it's completely false.
A TikTok spokesperson told the BBC, our algorithm brings together communities while prioritising safety, for example, by recommending different types of content and interrupting repetitive patterns. In addition, we remove harmful misinformation, with the vast majority of videos never receiving a single view, and we demote and significantly reduce the reach of videos that contain unverified information. What was interesting about the school frenzy was that it was real world from the off. Users could participate immediately. That was maybe one reason why it spiked so quickly and with such intensity. A few months later, in June, I spotted some more protests involving young people unfolding in France.
Protests and unrest erupted in the region around Paris overnight after police shot dead a 17-year-old who failed to stop when ordered to.
The statement from the police saying the police officers were feeling threatened and had to shoot, but this video posting on social media had a completely different tale of the story. This is what created a lot of anger.
The French president, Emmanuel Macron, is holding a crisis meeting right now. He has called for calm.
They stole a bus and burned it.
The French president leveled the blame at TikTok and Snapchat.
Macron says there are lots of young people involved in these demonstrations, sometimes very young people. Social media platforms play a significant role in the events of the past few days. On several platforms, such as Snapchat, TikTok and several others, we have both the organisation of violence and the mimicking of violence.
Was there another TikTok frenzy at play?
Or was the French president just deflecting responsibility from a shocking incident that provoked mass unrest? I looked through the content spreading on social media using Nahel's name. On Snapchat, I found public videos racking up over 167,000 views. That doesn't include private chats that I can't access. Even then, on TikTok, videos using this hashtag racked up over 853 million views. Quite a few of the TikToks were Snapchat videos reshared with a much higher reach than just friends or those who live locally.
The kind of problem that we're seeing now is bad behavior in one part of the world can very quickly spread to other parts of the world. And so, you know, when you log on to TikTok, in some respects, you're looking at all of the bad behavior from all of the different locations in the country all at once. And so, you know, it's only natural to imagine that's going to inspire some copycatting.
The French protests don't surprise me. TikTok can definitely drive more eyeballs in a way that escalates situations. I don't think it can validate behavior. Groupthink is very real, especially in places like TikTok. I do think TikTok wants to de-amplify content that's explicitly dangerous, but it doesn't want to overly censor or slow things down, which are developing as viral. And that can be a tricky line to walk. But on the other hand, TikTok can make people aware of protests in a positive way too.
I spotted several videos showing violence and devastation in a town called Viry-Châtillon. Protests seem to have spread at an unusually fast rate and with an unusual intensity.
Salut, bonjour.
Bonjour, Mariana. Bonjour. Bienvenue à Viry.
What part Merci, did TikTok play here? Jean is the town's mayor.
He says, it's quite rare that people organize political demonstrations in Viry-Châtillon. What is incredible and dramatic is that these riots actually took place in working-class neighborhoods, but also in the provinces, in cities, in small towns where nothing is happening, where everything is fine, where people are happy. Mariana asks, before when there were demonstrations, are they younger now? It was a lot younger than before. We clearly saw this difference. The police saw it, and we saw it with the arrests. When they stopped young people who were 12 or 13, it's something that didn't exist before. TikTok was used by different neighborhoods in France to show how much more violent they could be, also more extreme in the abuses that could be done.
Dans la violence, toujours plus haut dans les exactions qui peuvent être faites.
Now they're outside. He points. They'd put the bus across both roads here, right in the middle. They took people out. They set the bus on fire inside. It burnt for almost 3 hours.
Et donc ça a brûlé pendant presque 3 heures quand même.
TikTok clips showing the burning bus at night, then the wreck in daylight. TikTok gave certain people the means to see that somewhere we're burning a car or burning a truck, and in the end it became the norm.
C'est la norme.
More burnt out vehicles and signs of other damage caused by fire. The hairdresser's was completely broken inside, same for the pharmacy. Everything is destroyed, everything was looted, there was nothing left inside. TikTok content showing shattered glass and destruction. A new speaker says, social networks have not done enough, and they will have to do more.
The French EU commissioner criticized social media sites for not doing enough to deal with the content.
He continues, when there is hateful content, content that calls for revolt, that also calls for killing or burning cars, they will have the obligation in the moment to erase them. If they do not do so, they will be immediately sanctioned.
As a moderator, it felt like you were there as kind of a front for TikTok to say that they were trying their best, but you were very much aware while you were moderating that this is an impossible task because of the speed of how quickly someone can upload something and it being available for everyone to see. You're constantly playing catch up with like an invisible beast, which the algorithm is. So it's kind of like wildfire spreading. So you can kind of put out the main fire, but like all of the little fires are still there and people can see it. And yeah, it's dangerous.
Jasmine laughs. In London.
Only weeks after my trip to Paris, something else happened. Disorder in the center of London, with hundreds of teenagers descending on Oxford Circus, talking about looting the shops. Police issued a dispersal order. Sadiq Khan directly blamed social media.
But I'm worried about this nonsense we've seen on TikTok encouraging people to go to Oxford Street. I'd encourage anybody who's seen that not to go. Don't allow yourself to be sucked in by this sort of criminality.
What seemed to have started on Snapchat, like in France, had been picked up and shared more widely on TikTok. Several I've spoken to told me that if they hadn't seen those videos on TikTok, they wouldn't have turned up.
If I was a copper today, I'd be absolutely furious with TikTok, and I want the government to throw the book at that lot. That should never have been allowed up.
When I first started using TikTok during the COVID-19 pandemic, it was all dances and life hacks. Now, almost every major global news event unfolds on my For You page in real time, including events I just wouldn't have come across before. When I first heard about those Idaho murders, I had no idea what I'd uncover. Having spoken to TikTok insiders and people caught up in these frenzies, it seems to me that they're really difficult to get on top of. And not just that, but there isn't the incentive to. After all, a slower and less participatory TikTok doesn't seem to be the goal for the social media company. All of these frenzies seem really out of control. But what happens when someone works out how to harness them and the behavior connected to them for their own aims? That seems pretty scary.
Do you think TikTok is good or bad for the world?
I think it's probably a net negative. I don't believe that a platform with short, addictive videos consuming so much of our time can be a positive.
If you had children, would you let them use TikTok?
No, definitely not. I would not let any of my children use TikTok.
I think it's impossible to work at TikTok and to then send your children on that site as well. It's very telling that all of the CEOs of big social media companies, their children aren't on social media platforms.
So long term, I do think it is necessary for a regulation to step in and create real incentives for platforms to design responsibly. If you just want to maximize, you know, your usage next week, show people lots of misinformation, show people hate speech, you know, show people dangerous, violent content, that is what is going to get to people to watch your platform next week. If you want to maximize how many people are using your app a year from now or 5 years from now, you're going to have to think about something very, very different.
A TikTok spokesperson told the BBC, prioritising safety is not only the right thing to do, it makes business sense. We have more than 40,000 safety professionals working alongside technology to protect our community. And as we learn more, we do more, which is why we continue to collaborate with academics, law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, and other experts to evolve our processes.